On December 10, 1948, members of the United Nations General Assembly ratified the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Former First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, who helped draft the original document, referred to it as humanity's Magna Carta. Now, 70 years later, is this non-binding vision for a more just world still relevant? Dr. Sam McFarland, Professor Emeritus of WKU's Department of Psychology, joins us to discuss that very subject. Now, I got to be honest with you, Sam. I polled people in the newsroom, and there was a definite split about who had heard of this document before and who had not. It appeared that people in an older cohort were not familiar with it, and the younger cohort knew all about it.
Right. And if that is, in fact, the case, it's probably fortunate, which just simply means that now younger generations of students are being exposed to it, where older generations of individuals were not.
So what is this document, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights?
When the United Nations was formed in 1945, there was a strong awareness in everybody's mind of the Holocaust, not only of the two world wars that people had suffered through, but that millions of people, particularly Jews, but others as well, had been slaughtered. So when the United Nations was formed, there was a keen awareness that we needed a universal Bill of Rights, a Bill of Rights that applied to all human beings everywhere in the world. Such a bill was not contained in the UN Charter, but they did set up a commission to draft such a bill. And as you said, it was in December of 1948, on the 10th, that the Universal Declaration was passed unanimously by the General Assembly.
Now, its non-binding status, you know, is seen as one of its greatest weaknesses. So basically, critics will say it's lip service to human rights throughout the world. So who's listening?
It's both. It's half and half. It's middle ground between the two. Actually, it was declarations in international law are just statements of principles. They are not binding covenants or agreement. On the other hand, there are covenants and conventions which are binding agreements on the nations that ratify them. So at the same session in which the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was adopted by the General Assembly, they instructed the Commission on Human Rights to begin preparing covenants that the nations could ratify. By 1966, two such covenants, binding covenants, had been prepared. They were adopted, that each one focused on a part of the rights in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
So here we are, more than a half century after its ratification. Our world is continuing its trajectory toward war, human rights violations, hatred. So does the Universal Declaration of Human Rights matter today?
Yes. And I will say that pretty unequivocally in several different ways. We are in a situation of the glass half empty, the glass half full. And if you look at it in one way, you can say we've made great progress in the last 70 years. And I think that Eleanor Roosevelt and the major drafters of the Universal Declaration would look at it that way. On the other hand, as we see the Rohingya being ethnically cleansed, as we see the civil war continuing in Syria with major expulsions of people, we still see major human rights abuses around the world. So we certainly have not achieved the full realization of the human rights that the Universal Declaration hoped for and that it tried to envision. But on the other hand, I do believe that we're in a much better position than we were 70 years ago with regard to human rights.
We're talking with Dr. Sam McFarland, Professor Emeritus of Psychology at Western Kentucky University, discussing the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which will celebrate its 70th anniversary on December 10th. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Barbara Deeb.